Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The MBTA is cutting back service on several bus lines starting this Sunday due to driver shortages. And then this week, video released from the horrible escalator accident at Back Bay Station in September, which reminds us, honestly, once again, that we have the oldest subway infrastructure in the country. We need the T to keep us moving, even though fewer people want to take it during this pandemic and now Omicron. Which means there is a lot to talk about with MBTA General Manager Steve Poftek, and he will take your calls. Do you have a question about the service cutbacks? What do you need to know about, let's say, mask safety on buses and trains? Are you using the T? What do you want him to know about your experience? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. MBTA General Manager Steve Poftek, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Steve, I want to kind of get the nuts and bolts out first. Remind folks which lines will be affected by service cuts. How big are these cuts, and why did you have to do them?
Sure. There'll be no impact on the subway system or subway schedules. In fact, we are adding a little bit of weekend service in the evenings on the Mattapan line. The service cuts, which I encourage you to take a look at MBTA.com, it will affect many of the bus lines. They will be incremental service cuts. So what folks will see is a slight stretching out of the time in between buses. What this allows us to do is what has been happening now is when we don't have an employee to do a particular run, we drop the trip so that there's a real long irregular gap at times between buses. What this will allow us to do is smooth that out a bit and have service be more predictable. You asked why we're doing this. We're doing this purely because we are having a difficult time attracting people to become bus operators at the T. This is not the direction we want to go in. And in fact, we are fully funded to provide a much higher level of service, and we are actively hiring right now. So if anyone listening is interested, again, I direct you to MBTA.com and take a look at our open positions, including hundreds of bus operator positions.
Steve, that's got to be maddening. Did it drive you nuts to have to cut back service, especially during the pandemic when you want riders back on the T?
Absolutely. We do not want to be in this position, but I think we are dealing not only with a national issue of, you know, overall shortage in the workforce, but surely in transportation, we have seen shortages. We've seen BPS, struggle to make sure that their bus service is fully staffed. I know our friends out at the regional transportation authorities across the Commonwealth are dealing with similar issues. Everyone is struggling to attract workers right now, and we are looking at every possible option to try to get more people to understand what an opportunity it is to be a bus driver at the MBTA, to apply and to make sure that they get trained and get behind the wheel of a bus.
When you first announced the shortages and the pending service cuts, I know there were critics out there saying, hey, you need to put in place more incentives, et cetera. You've done some of that now. Do you feel if you'd done that sooner, it would have helped with your pipeline?
Probably anything we could have done sooner would have been better. We're doing a lot of it now. We're going to be, we're going to be in the new year. We are going to be offering bonuses. We are working to, a lot of what we've done now is outreach. We're doing a massive advertising campaign. We've also worked with our friends at the RMV to notify anyone with a commercial driver's license has been made aware that the MBTA is hiring. So we're really trying to push those numbers up. And we have a pretty aggressive plan. We would love to be adding back service and love to be in that position soon.
I want to talk about Omicron for a minute. One of the pieces of data about Omicron that still kind of haunts me is that it replicates in the respiratory tract in the airways 70 times faster than the previous variant, Delta. Before the break, we were talking to restaurant owners about the challenges of having restaurant employees enforcing something like now you have to show in the city of Boston in January proof of vaccination to come into the restaurant, that it's important for people to cooperate voluntarily. I'm thinking about masks and mask cooperation on public transit with Omicron hanging over us the way it is. How well are people doing masking up? How much do you wish you could enforce that? And talk to people right now. They're listening. What do you want to tell them about safety on the T?
I mean, I guess I start with asking everyone to please, please wear your mask on the MBTA in an MBTA facilities. It is a federal requirement. It's the right thing to do for yourself, your fellow passengers, and T employees. We are seeing a very good level of compliance by folks on the T. We've attempted to take what I would call a supportive approach. In many cases, we've had transit ambassadors in major stations who have masks that they've been able to give out. You know, we've tried to view this more as a sort of giving people the supportive message, please wear your mask. If you need a mask, when we have one available, we'll provide it, as opposed to turning each one of these incidents into a police matter. But we
have, by and large, seen
good compliance.
Yeah, do you have any data on that about, I mean, I'm imagining you compare notes with transit systems around the country. Do we know, does the carrot, the soft, the helpful approach work better on overall mask compliance than the stick?
We think it does. I mean, I don't know that there's anyone who's doing, to use your term, you know, sort of the stick approach. We do regular audits of our employees and of overall mask wearing. I say, you know, in general, I think we've seen about 95% compliance, and then some of the non-compliance, or some of that, you know, some of that number is folks who are wearing a mask but perhaps wearing it incorrectly. We have an extensive Ride Safer campaign, which you'll see on posters and on our message boards, explaining to folks how to properly wear a mask and urging people to wear a mask.
I'm going to put the phone number out here again, 1-800-423-8255, to ask MBTA General Manager Steve Pofdek a question. We've got Bill on the line in Newton. Bill, briefly, what's your question?
I just had a question. If he realized that they had more retired employees than working employees, and if that has contributed to them not being able to have enough drivers.
Steve.
I am aware of that. I think, you know, part of that, which, you know, folks in your audience may or may not know, is up until if you started working at the MBTA before 2012, your retirement system is based on your years of service, and the required years of service were 23 years, and then you were eligible for retirement. So as a consequence, we have a number of employees who I think would be considered mid-career by most estimates, who are then eligible to retire. So that is an incentive for folks to retire. We have thought about possibly bringing retirees back. I know other systems have done it and have not seen that be sort of the solution to the employee shortage. But it is, as I said, you know, everything is on the table. It is something that we are considering.
I'm thinking about the video that came out this week. We talked to you after the Back Bay Station accident, the escalator accident. I know you know the Boston Globe had an article this week looking at history of escalator accidents. We've also talked a lot, Steve, since you took the job and since I took this job, about infrastructure and capital repairs. Do you know any more about what happened in September? And just talk to me about these challenges of infrastructure, safety, and getting the money you need to get stuff fixed.
Sure. I don't have any additional information to share. Part of that is because there is ongoing litigation, so I'm really limited in what I can say. It's also because we had a pause in the investigation while some of these legal issues were worked out. But this, you know, this one is particularly frustrating. You know, a careful read of that Globe article, this escalator had passed inspection. It had been regularly maintained with a rigorous maintenance regime. So obviously, we want to understand that. To answer your question more broadly, the MBTA needs investment, and it's getting that investment. We are up, we are close to $2 billion a year in investment. We just reviewed internally, at least our preliminary 5-year plan that we'll be developing over the next 6 months. We're going to sustain that level of investment, and that is, that's roughly 5 times what we were investing per year in the system a decade ago. But it's going to take that sustained level of investment over a number of years to address all of these things. And I think, I'm hopeful that folks see some of the green shoots, like, the new trains on the Orange Line, but then you see the old cars on the Orange Line and you realize that we still have a ways to go. And, that is our ongoing work to maintain this level of investment.
Let's break in there for a second. I won't go to Chris from JP just because we're tight on time, but Chris from JP was calling specifically to ask the status of the Orange Line replacement train. So let's answer his question, Steve.
Sure. Right now, on any given day, we typically 3 of the 14 trains in at the peak in the rush hour are the new trains. We are expecting in the new year a significant number of new trains. We are getting a regular flow of cars for the Orange Line from the factory in Springfield. So I look forward to the day. I can't name it exactly, but I look forward to the day sometime next year when a majority of the trains on the Orange Line are new trains. So we are making progress there. And I am hopeful, again, folks on the Orange Line should be seeing those trains pretty regularly now.
So I'm going to ask you a question Solomon from Boston called in on as well, said that he wouldn't have made enough. He looked at applying to be a bus driver, wouldn't have made enough given cost of living. Can you raise wages? How much of a boogeyman is what you can afford to pay in this staffing shortage?
That's something we're looking at. I will say we just ratified, or the union just ratified, and the board just passed on this Thursday a new contract with our bus drivers union, the Carmen's Union 589, that raises wages pretty significantly to two raises of 2.5% plus a bonus for all employees. And we are looking at the starting salary. We're also looking at doing a better job of explaining what it's like to work at the T. The average bus driver, by the time they've put in 5 years, the average salary, average base salary is around $80,000 a year. It is a job with tremendous stability and great benefits, and I think we need to do a better job of explaining that to folks. But the caller's point is well taken. We are taking a look at what that entry level salary looks like.
Okay, last sort of brief question for you. I'm thinking about 2022. I know as I look ahead in my work, I know deep in my heart what's most important to me to make sure happens next year. What is it for you?
Our first priority is always going to be safety, to make sure that we are operating the system safely, to make sure that our customers and employees are safe. So that's always going to be the priority. I think the next thing is to continue to invest in the system and invest in improving service. We want to be substantially improving service going forward. And we've got a lot of ambitious plans in mid-flight, and it's bringing a bunch of those to fruition.
All right. Steve Poftek is general manager of the MBTA. Steve, always appreciate the time. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you, and thanks for having me.
So we turn now to WBUR reporter Daryl C. Murphy, who was listening in that conversation. Welcome, Daryl.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. So I know you're reporting on transportation. Let's just briefly get your reactions to what you heard from Steve Poftek.
I think first what I'm very curious to know about is how Omicron is really impacting those changes. I think, just from what I've heard, I feel like it might be a little understated, especially considering that this is a highly, highly contagious variant, more contagious than the others. And I'm curious to know if they're reevaluating just how transmissible COVID is on public transportation, considering that. I mean, especially considering that a lot of health experts are asking the public to bump up their masks, right? Like now they're saying, it's not just about having a cloth or double masking. Now we got to have like a specific K95 or N95 mask. So I wonder if they are really taking that into consideration, especially as they are looking to cut down the frequency of bus service on certain routes due to this worker shortage. Because, you know, when you do that, you kind of risk overcrowding, you know. And one thing I see is that the 23 and the 29 are on the list of buses to have decreased service. And, you know, these are buses that travel through neighborhoods that were identified as having been, like, heavily impacted by COVID-19. So I'm just curious to know if the officials at the MBTA are really taking Omicron into consideration as they have all these changes going on, you know?
So, Daryl, before we let you go, one of the things I wanted to be sure to ask you, you have fairly fresh eyes. You're relatively new to Boston by way of Philadelphia, but you reported on transportation there, too. So with your eyes, do you feel like the T has made the moves it needed to over the last year or so in the face of the pandemic? And what would you expect to see?
I think like, you know, just like when I was in Philadelphia, I think that there's things that transit agencies could do better. You know, but then there's some things that might be out of their control. You know, you can't control mass compliance without having this, you know, like without having some sort of gestapo force on the trains, you know, or the buses. So you can't do that. But, you know, you do your best with mass compliance. But I think just keeping up with the times and making sure that you stay ahead of the curve, like I said before, you know, these variants come out and they get more and more contagious as time goes. So I just wonder if they're doing everything they can to stop it, because it does seem like they've eased up, like there's no more capacity limits. And I am very, very curious to know if they're still maintaining their cleaning practices that they had employed at the beginning of the pandemic as well. One thing I do see that the T that's positive for the team, which is coming more from the city side, is the experimentation with fare-free bus routes. But then that's also kind of clouded by the Omicron situation because, you know, free service is going to draw more, tends to draw more riders. And so that could be a whole issue right there, you know?
Yeah, Daryl, I really appreciate that last part because as we've talked about free T, that piece we haven't focused on. So we'll look forward to following more of your reporting in that area in the new year. WBUR reporter Daryl C. Murphy there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.